I'm Susan Barrett.
And I'm Todd Thomas. At Barrett Barrera Projects, we believe that art is a verb.
It's the ongoing process of deconstructing and reconstructing our world.
This season, we'll delve deep into the creative process of some of our most inspiring friends and collaborators to understand how they're navigating this pivotal moment and working to transform our existing systems, reimagine the status quo, and support each other across disciplines in order to create a more sustainable and equitable future for us all.
Welcome to Art as a Verb, a Barrett Barrera project.
In today's episode, we're speaking with world-famous DJ goddess and advocate for LGBTQ youth, Lena Bradford, whose infectious attitude and vibrant sense of humor could brighten anyone's day. Lena is also an actress and the host of her own talk show, In the Dollhouse with Lena.
As a native New Yorker and trans pioneer, Lena has seen the city through many stages of its evolution and has remained a pillar of New York nightlife over the last several decades. Not that she's aged at all in that time.
In this episode, we discuss the value of optimism, building a positive chain reaction, and what true style really means. Thank you, Lena, for sharing a dose of your radical kindness with us. You're a beacon of light. We welcome you to Art as a Verb.
It's such a pleasure. Good afternoon, everyone.
We met many years ago, and I think a 1994 Wigstock in Tompkins Square Park.
And good time.
And have since met many times in different places in different areas, and it's nice to have you here.
Shape shifting while still looking good, baby.
And Lena, we met when you DJed for us at the Queen Within pop-up in Miami at Art Basel.
In Miami?
Yes.
Yes, that was such a fun event. You guys worked out that space, and it was such a shame that it was only there for a limited time. I was like, this is a great installment.
Yeah. I know, right?
Yeah, that was fun.
That's our life over
here. And the couture was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. That was before COVID. By the way, where are you now?
Well, I'm in my dressing room here in New York, mm-hmm. which has become my new office, which is mm-hmm. so ironic to think.
Is that where you're doing all of your work and broadcasting and DJing from?
Yeah, all of my speaks, my table readings, my live DJ set, it's all happening from my dressing room. Who knew?
Amazing. I know. You got to be agile.
I say to my husband, I'm like, I've got to go to work, darling. I'm leaving the TV room to go to the dressing room.
Exactly.
My dogs love it. They're like, Mommy's not leaving and I'm saving a bundle on car services.
Exactly.
Has it all been good since COVID? I mean, how's everything else changed?
Well, you know, I got to tell you, where there's darkness, there's always light. I'm a very optimistic Aries witch. It has really been very positive. I'm a very positive person, so I'll always find a way out of making things come correct in the times that we're in. And this is a really beautiful time to be alive, I got to say. Proactive in everything. People are so empathetic and they're thoughtful about other people's lives because we had to put a kibosh on our daily run of the gamut situation, you know? We wouldn't be having all of these things that are happening right now if we weren't going through a pandemic. But like I said, it's never lovely or nice to lose anyone, but we always have to find the silver lining out of all of this. So being an optimistic person, I find it and I have found it to be very positive throughout all of this.
Oh, amazing. Good.
There are a couple of things to talk about in that whole situation and the movement that's happening simultaneously. But to backtrack just a little bit and start just for people that might not know who are listening, you came up in New York in the 90s and you were a DJ and a performer. What was that like when you started and how has your trajectory of your career been to date?
Sure. Well, growing up in Manhattan, you know, I got to see all of the beautiful ups and downs of the city from the 70s to the 80s to the 90s. And you got to really get the whole, just the underlining of how the city and the club industry, the fashion industry, everything worked back then. You know, we were mostly going through a financial downgrade in our country, but it always was a time where the underground always flourished and mm-hmm. it brought people together, you know, and it was a beautiful thing. And so I come from that school. I come from that school of being there with your brothers and sisters. This is all before social media. Social
right.
media was us out there being there with everyone, dressing up and taking pictures and seeing them in magazines of like at the back of paper and, you know,
right.
egg and all of these great things, you know, and it was fun, but we were in the moment. We weren't so caught up with being on a phone. So thank God there weren't phones back then because mm-hmm. we wouldn't have been so dialed in and so proactive. Like, I was a part of ACT UP. I was a part of the fiber of the backdrop of New York, and I feel honored and blessed to have been a part of that time and to still be here for it, you know?
Right.
Not a lot of brothers and sisters, as we know, we've lost, but I was always in it for the learning aspect, the fashion aspect, the music aspect. So with all of that came a very well-evolved woman, as where mm-hmm. I came from my mm-hmm. family, but continued that through my path and where I am today. So I think that when you have that instilled in you, there's no coming away from that, but only just going higher.
Oh, that's fantastic. Todd and I have had long conversations about that time, sort of the pre-phone and the pre-Instagram and the pre sort of branded. And we've had long conversations about how fashion has changed and how that's altered fashion in terms of corporation and a sort of sameness. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that, like how style, you know, it used to be like street style influencing mm-hmm. fashion from bottom up instead of top down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, Susan, to add on to that, I mean, you are someone that really takes ownership of fashion and beauty, quote unquote, you know, like that whole kind of vernacular and owns it. And that's a big part of your presentation and your experience too. So,
yeah,
I mean, it is interesting to hear your thoughts on that.
Thank you, both of you. And that's a really good question. You know, for me, my grandmother, you know, growing up in Manhattan, she was a very colorful woman. You know, she was an opera singer. So, you know, came with that, the feathers and the sequins, but it wasn't gaudy. You know what I mean? It was mm-hmm. always fashion. And she would take me out because she knew that music was everything for me. And, you know, back then they weren't carding and I was tall.
Right.
I have a very huge appreciation for fashion, that it comes from inside and it's not look at in a window and you just wear as a mannequin, you know what I mean? And I think that's kind of like the stages that we're living in now. It's like people want to listen to people called influencers, which I don't understand what that word means. Influencers. Who are you influencing, honey? Where did you get this from? Because you found it and you saw it. That's a whole nother gamut. But
totally.
For me, style is something that is in your backbone and how you walk and how you smell and what you do. And it all connects with everything that it is that you do.
Right.
You know, it doesn't matter how much something costs. Because I think that having personal style is something that you don't acute to something you see in a magazine or in a window. It's something that comes from where it is that you come from. And it doesn't matter if you're from a city. You could be from the country. And as we know, back in the day, you had all of these beautiful people moving from all over the world and all over the country. And that's what New York and America is all about. That's what makes New Yorkers and Americans and Americans, is because they add to all of the colorful taste the rainbow Skittles color situation, you know, and that's what's so beautiful about how New York and America is. And that's why all these people who will try to bring all the conflama and the mascara, it won't happen.
Right.
That is not how America is. And that is not how New York is. Okay. We will always, always be a Benetton ad. So I think that you've got to really kind of go with what speaks to you inside and not by what, quote unquote, an influencer and somebody else is telling you, because I have pieces that I've had since back in the day that I still rock and that I will mix and match, because nothing ever goes out of fashion.
I agree.
Touching on the flavor of what you just put forth of, you know, just the feeling of New York and the mix and the kind of the whole vibe of inclusion. You know, we're seeing a huge movement in Black Lives Matter, and a movement with the Black Trans Lives Matter movement has been active a lot lately. And, you know, you came up in a time where the awareness wasn't as large as it is now.
Baby, it didn't exist.
Yeah. I'm just curious of your experience with that and your thoughts on the Black Trans Lives Matter movement that's happening now.
I'm glad that you brought that up, sweetheart, because I just had a conversation yesterday. And I said, you know, you don't get to, in the Black community, decipher on a totem pole who's worthy within the Black community. It just doesn't work that way. Because I'll tell you who shows up for you. Everyone else who's not showing up for you, who's next door to you with their gun, okay? It's your people outside of your community who are there fighting for you. And these people today are strong, intelligent, Black trans women in different places of power. Okay, we've always been there. It's just everybody else deciding to like take the blinders out and look and listen. But the thing is that we always show up for you. And it's okay if you don't show up for us, because at the end of the day, I think that you can't ostracize people and put them down for where they are, because you don't know what put them there. Mm-hmm. So to automatically start coming at them, you put them further in their rut. So you have to be empathetic and understand where they're coming from. And then at their time in their moment when it's aligned for them, they will come correct with that. And they'll be like, wow, she could have completely gone in on me and she didn't. Because it's with ease and care and love and light. That's how you get through to people. Mm-hmm. You don't start screaming down their throat and raising your decibels. Nothing good comes of that. Mm-hmm. So I think that we need to remind ourselves within the community that we have to be there for each other, because I think so often it's so easy to kind of take the, oh, the white supremacists are coming for us, so I'm going to go with someone lower down in our community and I'm going to take it out on them. No, we can't do that. Mm-hmm. We're stronger in numbers, and we only look like it's easier for them to attack us when we do it within our own community.
How do you stay so positive?
How I was raised. I don't see negativity. I really don't. I don't see a purpose in giving any strength to it, because at the end of the day, we're not promised tomorrow. All I know is that every day that I'm blessed to be on this earth and spread my love and my light, my brown sugar, honey, is a good day. We're in a pandemic. When did we ever think that we'd see this? Absolutely not. But look, I'm in my dressing room making people happy all over the world. So I've got to be happy. And you know what? It's contagious. When you give that out to everybody, people feel it and they need it. And we also need to remember there's a lot of people who are in their homes by themselves. So they're listening to this. This touches them.
Right. What's the response you're getting from your following on the way that you're transmitting yourself now? Do you feel like you're reaching more people? Or, you know, I have friends that are like a yoga teacher friend whose classes have quadrupled online than what they were in the physical state.
Sure. It's interesting. I'm a very present person. So like I said, I don't understand the whole influencer thing. You know what I mean? But I'm blessed enough to have a team that I work with. So they don't work for me. We work together. We're brothers and sisters, and that's how it is. Mm-hmm. They tell me things. So, you know, I have my editor guy who puts together all of my stuff. He's a genius, and he's been such a fucking rock star throughout this whole thing. And he tells me, he's like, I love waking up after your weekend and after you've done stuff and just see how your numbers keep climbing and whatever. And I was like, well, you know what? I wouldn't know this unless you told me. And also, I am the only one answering all of the messages in my inbox. And I will read them all before I go to sleep. And I don't care how many it is, because if you're taking out the time in your life to come focus into the light that I'm giving here in New York inside of my closet, baby, I can stay up and I can answer all these messages, because that's some powerful shit. That's amazing. Being able to touch people all over, I mean, the places. I mean, like, I've been blessed enough to travel in this lifetime a few times over. But there's some countries and some places that have been reaching out to me. And I'm like, wow, the power of the internet when it's done by good is a beautiful gig.
Right. That kind of brings me to just wanted to touch on your Fire Island residency, which was a long experience. And I think your intent was not for it to be that long. And it kind of was, you know, something pretty remarkable that people just loved and still talk about so much. And I'm wondering how that was for you and how that brought you to the next level of where you are now.
That's a really good question. And you're right. I mean, it's been 6 years since, can you believe it's 6 years since I've left?
No.
And my sister Candace and I were talking about that yesterday. We were having a conversation about something and that came up and she's like, girl, has it been 6 years already? I'm like, honey, don't sleep. Don't blink. Everything goes by so fast. It really does. But yeah, and it is amazing. And it also is a testament just to who I am, because I've always had this time clock within me that says it's time to do something else. It was like that before I got to the island. And it just so happened to be my 10-year anniversary. And I didn't even know. Like, I'm just so spiritually in tune with those things that I was like, oh, my God, it's 10 years I've been here. Holy crap.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? I think I'm done. And it was in such a beautiful, cathartic way, because that island gave me so much beauty. And I mean, if you're a spiritual person, even if you're not, I mean, I lived there for 7 months of my life for 10 years. You know, I would get there April 1st, right before my birthday, open up the house, and then start right before my birthday on the 14th. And I would be there until October, and then I would leave. Mm-hmm. So it was a very special time being there during the weekday and living out there, really getting a chance to know yourself in a new way. Mm-hmm. And the people and the relationships that I've met have been some of the most strongest brothers and sisters I still have to date in my life. You know, it was such a groundbreaking moment for not only the island, but for myself. You know, when I got asked to come there in 2005, you know, I've been going there since the 70s, but I was never consistent because it didn't speak to me.
Right. It was totally different.
100%. the morning parties and all of that stuff that were happening in the early 2000s, people had like left their houses and they weren't really going out there a lot because, you know, the whole AIDS thing. And it was just a really, and druggy, it was just, it was not a place that people were going to anymore.
Also kind of a place of white privilege too.
There, I was about ready to go there. Yes. So when they asked me to be a part and come out and spin when Eric had taken over the properties at the Blue Whale and whatnot and Pavilion, I was like, I don't know. I mean, I was doing Saint-Tropez and Sardinia, so mother was fine. But then I said, you know what? I will take the Pepsi challenge. There's a reason why my spiritual being is lining me up with this situation. Let me find out what it's about. If I don't like it, I'll tell my agent, let's go back to Europe. I said, you know what? Let's find out. I went out there for one gig and I was like, well, what is this going to be about? Because my whole thing was that they're asking a, and mind you, I don't get into labels. I'll wear them, but I'm not a label. Like, I'm Lena. I'm a dynamic woman before I'm any of these things. But if we want to get down to brass tacks and get down to the whole situation of what it really was, because it was a very predominantly Caucasian situation, they asked a transgendered woman, a mixed breed girl, to come out there and DJ. Like, this is huge. Mm-hmm. So how could I not do it? How could I turn that away? There was something bigger than all of this. And I knew that. I knew that. I didn't really know the extent of it, but I knew that it was something special and something big and that I needed to take the bite. So I did. I was out there for one gig. And then literally by the second or third week, there was a line around the Pavilion to get up because it was the first time they'd ever had a DJ upstairs. It was only ever a cassette player playing, you know, after you would leave low-key people, go up there for a drink, and then they would go to their house and then go out later night to Pavilion to party. So it got big. And then by a month in, it was like people were jumping and carrying on and the floors were like moving. And then they asked me to start spinning low tea. So I would do low tea from 5 to 7 and then run upstairs. I'd leave a CD playing downstairs at low tea, start upstairs at Lena's Lounge and then spin from 7 to like 9:30. And then I would go up into at the time I had the little penthouse up at the hotel and then change and get ready and then have to do late night Pavilion. I was doing all three every weekend. And I was just like, this started from one gig. So the next thing you know, I moved out there. And then that's how it all started.
I was there many times and it was pretty amazing, I have to say.
And what you said, like, people still talk about that. Like, it's crazy to me. Like, because it is a vortex out there. It is a time capsule. So I understand that, you know, there's people who have been going out there forever. Hello, I was one of them. But it's so interesting that they haven't moved with the times of realizing that, you know, I have gone on to do amazing and great things from that, mm-hmm. but still reside me as still being a part of their summer. Every summer,
great.
I'm a part of their equation, regardless of if I'm physically there or not. Like, that's pretty huge.
Yeah, it is. You split your time between New York and LA primarily and travel other places. What is your life like in LA? You have family, your sister's there and...
My sister Candace lives there, yes. And I love that question because it's funny. I never thought that I would, you know, I used to call it Hellasia. Now I call it Lavagier because I love it. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting having this conversation about Lavagier because I'm such a New Yorker. But I would say 6 years ago, like when I got ready to leave the island, you know, I would, like I said, I would go there from April to October and then I would spend a month with my sister Candace in Lavagier. And then I was living in London at the time, which I call Lundagier. So I would live there from November. First, I would go back to London. And then from there, I'd be there till like the beginning of the season in Fire Island. So when I would go out there and spend time, I started speaking to me and I was like, okay, I love it. Then more stuff was happening. And like I said, I would usually just go in for my gig and then I would leave. Then I started falling in love with it a little bit more. And then I was, you know, taking my career to a different place. I had started doing the Dollhouse, my talk show. And
right.
Then other things started opening from there. And I was like, you know what? Okay, I'm kind of married to this. So I said to my other half, I was like, I think we're going to have to downgrade. So we got rid of the townhouse, got a 3-bedroom, and I got an apartment in LA.
Nice.
So it's pretty amazing having two lives, you know, where it's like, I literally have two homes and I like it. And I do split my time between the two. I was there before all this happened and filming something and we put it on hold because we didn't know how this was going to, you know, weigh out the whole pandemic, whatnot. But I said, you know what, as long as this is on hold, I'd rather be at home with my husband. So I hopped on a plane with my daughter and came back to my man and my son.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's great.
So I'll be here until September until I go back to LA and we'll start filming in October.
You'd mentioned spirituality a few times and I wanted to know, are you a spiritual person?
Yeah. 100%. I come from a biracial background. My mom is Black and white and British and Dutch and Jewish, and my father is white, Irish, and Jewish and Italian. So, you know, it's a whole tall salad. You know, when you come to a family reunion, it is a Benetton ad. Mm-hmm. And with that, was never any type of pressure on anything. Like, I was always very in touch with my Jewishness because it's very, very, you know, pronounced in my family. And I dip in and I dip out. Mm-hmm. But I never felt the pressure. And I think that your spirituality is something that is your own interpretation. It's not somebody else telling you how it should be. You know, everybody has their own thing of how they do it. But when you start putting it onto other people, that's when I think that religion is not that situation, because it's special. It's called spirituality for a reason, not structure.
Right. Thank you.
You know what I mean? It's not a teacher saying you need to do this and you need to, hello, and that you have to ostracize this type of group. Or No. Spirituality is something within inside yourself that we all have if we tune into it. And obviously, I'm very attuned into it because of where I came from. You know, I think that most grandmothers are the matriarch of the family, but mine really was. She's been a part of the S&M contingency, the gay pride, since the 70s. She's got a female and a male slave.
Oh, love it.
She's Black Wicca. My grandmother's the Jordache love. She's everything.
That's
and she
amazing.
Lives in here in Harlem. She's everything, you know? So she's really the backdrop of, you know, helping Mamala and Papala understand that this is your beautiful gift. And this is how we're going to do this. You know, it's period.com when grandma says something.
Mm-hmm.
Nana, we call her.
Yeah.
Do you think that spirituality leads to your optimism and to your great attitude?
Thank you, gorgeous. 100%. There was never really a time that I remember ever being depressed or upset about things, because honestly, when you live and you walk this life every day of your life, there's nothing else that you can see, especially when you come from that. You know what I mean? And because I always came from being very comfortable with myself, I always knew who I was. It was everybody else that needed to see it. And because I come with a big smile and so much panache, people are attracted to it. Even if they don't understand it, they're like, what is this beacon of light? Or what is this situation? What is this show? And then you open up your mouth and they're like, well, wow, I didn't understand this, but I love it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just have this way of not being intrusive and down people's throat. You know what I mean? I'm very easy breezy. If you don't see it and you don't understand it, I'm here to be precious and sweet with your time by letting you get a little taste.
Mm-hmm. And you do that in many ways, like you're being vocal within the trans community and your service on the board of GMHC, you know, your global ambassador for the Patrick Martin Institute.
So blessed.
Can you talk a little bit about your LGBTQ advocacy?
Definitely, darling. And something that you had mentioned earlier that I think will be perfect with this, about the whole transgendered visibility back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was very desolate back in the days, and there was nothing there for sisters of any color.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter. If you were a transgendered woman, you were considered a sex worker and a streetwalker, and that was it for you. And really, no one paid you any mind, you know, except for maybe the girls who worked in the club, you know? And that's sad. And, you know, it's not that long ago that that happened. We have a real problem in this country of pushing people and ostracizing them because we don't think that they look, or they don't look like us. But yet everybody in this world has a very similar way of how they think. But thank God we don't all look like each other.
Mm-hmm.
But the brainwashing in this country has made it very despicable for people to think that that's okay to do to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not good. And it's nice to see that it is changing. So growing up in Manhattan, I did know about HMI, Hedrick Martin School, and I just thought, oh my God, this is amazing. A gay and lesbian transgender school. Like, wow, I didn't want to go because I was very comfortable where I was. And I was the one who was always bringing everyone together and throwing the most amazing parties.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want to go, but I thought it was great because I knew that there were some kids in other schools who did have problems who might benefit from this.
And Lena, just to interject, will you just say for people that don't know what that school is?
Oh, yeah, of course. Harvey Milk, the movie that I'm sure most people know about. This is a school that is down over Astor Place and St. Mark's and Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
And they are an amazing organization that helps, and also not only just for food, and then we also opened another location out in Jersey for young gay, lesbian, transgender children to be able to have proper schooling without being bullied and killed. I mean, it's the work that they do. You guys, please do your homework. And you can also fund and help is amazing. Amazing the work they do. So being a part and lending any part of me to this, I'm honored and privileged to do and be a part of. Every year, as you know, they have an event at Cipriani's down in Wall Street called the Emory Awards. It's a really amazing organization, the work that they do. I got to tell you, I love everything that they have built from the get-go till now to see. It's like, and I'm not saying mainstream, but it's so nice to know that it's out there and that people can say, oh my God, I can put my child here if I need to. Mm-hmm. How good is that? That's like mesmerizing.
Yeah.
Because no child should ever have to worry about being themselves while getting an education.
Exactly.
And not to cut you off again, but also too, with extending to that type of situation comes kids being homeschooled. No.
Especially during the pandemic. What's going on now with this school?
That is a good question because, you know, a lot of those kids do look to that as being their safe haven and their place to go. You know what I mean? But the one great thing about this school, honey, is that guess what? They still offer facilities and home situations for these kids.
Oh, that's great.
This is all dialed in type of situation, honey. This isn't just like, oh, well, we're going through this, so good luck and we'll see you when we see you. No. It's a family.
Right.
They will make sure that you have a home. I mean, it's so amazing to see some of these kids after they graduate who come back and actually ended up working with these people. I mean, you've got celebrities like Selma. I mean, like the celebrities that are a part of this organization and are not selfish and lend their love and their light and their platforms is so monumental. I can't tell you. And I'm not going to sit here and start dropping names, but they put their money where their mouth is, you know?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's needed support. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it is. And also, too, a lot of these kids have, like, you know, internships with a lot of these people, which is great.
Yeah.
They give back. They give back.
It's the whole cycle.
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself going next? Or how do you see emerging out of this whole COVID situation? Everyone we're speaking with is like, you know, we're all kind of scratching our heads. Like, what's next? What are we doing? One day it's one thing. The next day it's a different thing. The next day it's back to the other thing. It's, you know, what are you feeling?
I am feeling always very optimistic. And I think that the more people that you reach out and you touch, it's a chain reaction of positive and responsible way of life. So obviously anyone that is in touch with the voice or the visual of Lena is going to know that you need to take the precautions that we all have schooled ourselves on, because there's no leadership in this country. That if you want to exist in this world and you want to come out of this, because again, this is a very small increment in our life. It seems like a long time because we're very impatient people. So when you're a patient person, you know, I'm a patient person. So I'm like, you know what? This is just an eyelash of a blink in my life, honey, because there's a reason why this is all happening. And I'm taking it all in and I'm making it work for me in the long run. Okay. But for everyone else who's not that optimistic, I have to tell you, wash your hands, wear your mask, do your social distancing. And then if you are with people, still do that. You know, you don't know. None of this is certain. We don't know any of this. These are the things that we do know that can make it better for us and to get out of ground zero where we were to now phase 3 or 4 where we're in. You know what I'm saying? But we don't want to go back to where LA is. It's sad, you know?
Right.
30 states in America right now. There's 50 states, you guys. 30 are now the highest it has ever been. Like, that's insane.
Yep.
Have you guys not learned anything of what New York just came out of?
I know.
And now it's going to get to the point where you're going to have to start putting borders on states. We don't want that. It's going to become, what is that show that's so creepy? The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, please don't say that. Please.
Oh, I know. Honey.
Let's just live in Lena's dollhouse. How about
please,
that?
Please, let's do.
That's what I'd like.
Well, there's lots of room, honey. Come on.
We don't have that leadership. We all don't have that leadership. So, yeah. Don't be...
That's why it's important to keep ourselves around people like yourself, like people who are putting out good content out there, because people are looking to that and for that. They're tuning in looking for podcasts like this. They're looking for people who share their same vibe.
Well, thanks. That's why we really felt it was important to speak with you. And
oh, thank you, sweetheart. I feel privileged.
So thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Anytime. You guys are beautiful.
In parting, just give us one song that we should be listening to today.
Ooh, that's a hard one. Put me on the
or
spot.
Two, or two, if one is difficult.
I am a classic rock girl, so I'm going to have to go with my favorite band, Led Zeppelin. I'm going to have to say, your time is going to come.
Okay.
If you don't know a children, you better school yourself now.
Well, children will have to get some schooling, I'm sure, but we'll connect it.
Love it.
Lena, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, you guys, it's a privilege. Thank you both so much.
I know. I feel like I just had a cup of coffee with an ice cream or something in it. You made me so happy.
That's a good analogy. I like that. She's like espresso, but mm-hmm. she's also tasty and sweet.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Tasty and sweet.
All right. Take care,
thank
Lena.
Thank you, honey.
You've been listening to Art is a Verb, a Barrett Barrera project. If you like what you just heard, please be sure to rate, review, and share this episode on social media, via email, or by any other means.
For more information on Barrett Barrera projects and to learn about upcoming projects and exhibitions, visit barrettbarrera.com. That's BARRETTBARRERA.com.
Keep up with our podcast by subscribing for free in your favorite podcast app. Just search Art is a Verb. The Art is a Verb podcast is produced by Olu and Company and is edited by Jag and Detroit Podcasts. The music in this show is H.A.M. by Eloise and the Savoir Faire.